Frequency, AU. Chapter 24 of Saber CMC's Thank You Fix. Read by CookieMom6067. He was six the first time he saw it. The radio wasn't anything like the ones he'd seen before, gifts from some of the military men who wandered in and out of the Stark mansion with their shiny medals, bottles of scotch, and black cases of things Tony was too young to understand. It was a boxy thing, the metal casing, painted army green. It looked heavy with its bulky antenna poking out of the top and the wide black circles for the mouth and earpieces. There were long, jagged scrapes down the sides, dings and scratches marring the paint. There were four parallel dents next to the press-to-talk button. And Tony wanted more than anything to put his fingers there and see how they lined up in the deep grooves. But of course he wasn't allowed to touch it. The radio had been Captain America's, after all. Cap had kept it with him the whole time he was in Europe, knocking out Nazis and fighting Hydra with the Howling Commandos, a history which transformed it from useless army junk to a valuable collectible to something almost magical because Captain America had held it, used it, talked to HQ on it, called for reinforcements, or reported on some new plot the Red Skull had brewing. There was even a picture of Cap in the middle of the smoking ruin of a Hydra base, holding the radio close to his ear. One of the few pictures of him in the battlefield where he was actually smiling, squinting off in the direction of the photographer like he'd been caught off guard. He'd asked Aunt Peggy about the radio once. She'd said Cap probably kept it around so he'd know what orders to disregard entirely, and then laughed in that strange way that adults laughed at things that weren't really funny, throwing her head back, shoulders shaking until she had to wipe tears out of her eyes. She'd ruffled his hair then and told him he was a lot like Captain America, which wasn't true, he knew, but it made something wonderful burst warm and wild inside his chest anyway. Tony was definitely not supposed to touch anything that his dad kept locked away in the safe. That had been drilled into his head well enough that it actually stuck. Unlocking the safe was child's play. Literally. He was 11 when he cracked it. Not for the radio, not then, but because he wasn't supposed to. Howard would hate it. Hate this above even the joyride he'd taken in the rolls that ended up with a broken fountain and a wet phantom. He paged through some of the papers inside the safe, boring pages of formulas that clearly didn't work, spherical schematics of a depleted uranium tamper that he knew worked all too well, drawings of a cube that held his interest for a moment, and rolled up reams of nautical navigation charts with various square-shaped grids crossed off in red X marks. It was his third foray into the safe when he finally picked up the forgotten radio, stuck in the back corner of the safe under a stack of faded, yellowing newspapers proclaiming victory in Europe. Remembered fascination was enough to get him to wrap his fingers into the dents with a wonder he thought he'd left behind. There wasn't a power switch, but he remembered the picture of Cap with the radio and how the antenna had been pulled up, and something that was part memory, part simply understanding how things worked, made him tug the clunky metal rod out until it pointed at the basement ceiling. "Hello?" Tony breathed into the mouthpiece as he held the talk button, his lips brushing against the plastic cover where tiny holes would have carried Cap's voice back to whoever was listening. A slightly embarrassed laugh bubbled up in him, and for the first time since he'd crept down here, he looked over his shoulder, like being found doing something silly was somehow worse than what he was actually doing. Of course, nothing happened. The thing was long since broken from damage or age or some combination of both. Still, he thought, holding the weight of it in his hands. What must that have been like? Some pimply-faced radio operator sitting back in some bunker in London switches on his receiver and hears Captain America talking back to him and is suddenly relaying vital information to the front, stopping the bad guys, helping a hero, drawn into becoming a part of some grand adventure, Frodo with his ring of dials, wires, and frequencies. Eventually, the thrill of a secret rebellion wore off, and he put everything back in its place with significantly less glee than he'd had when he took it out. It was a bit like opening the big box under the tree and finding a boarding school uniform. Nothing quite hurt the same way as disappointment. The safe had held some kind of talismanic quality for years, but there wasn't anything here except a past Howard loved more than anything in his present. It probably shouldn't have stung so much at that point. But there was something about seeing it all in its withered, sad glory that made it worse. This box of scraps and trash. This was what his father craved, the parts of himself he loved so much he didn't want Tony anywhere near them. His eyes burned for a moment. Damn dust, he told himself, wiping a hand over them. He started to push the door of the safe closed, then realized he'd left the antenna of the radio up. He couldn't say what made him take it, and later wouldn't say, maybe couldn't quite put it into words, but he bunched up the newspapers and rolls of charts in front of where the radio had been and closed the safe's door, locking it up again. The radio sat under his bed for a few weeks in a box of scraps he'd gathered from Howard's cast-offs, not exactly forgotten, but now that he had it, he wasn't sure what to do with it. Smash it? Sell it? Tell Howard he'd tossed it in the ocean? And watch his eyes bulge out of his head. The radio had the singular quality of being something Howard prized, that Tony now possessed, and there was some bitter satisfaction in that. But it had been Cap's, too, and he was too old to care about that, but he couldn't quite bring himself to actually do any of the things he thought about. It got to the point that doing something, anything at all, with the damn thing was enough of a victory over childish emotions that he found himself curled on the floor next to his bed, unscrewing the casing and pulling it apart to reveal the vacuum tubes, plug-in crystals, a capacitor and coils looped inside. Immediately he could tell that the batteries were corroded, and most of the other parts needed replacing or repairing. The stuff was so outdated, ancient, really, that fixing it was probably a lost cause. He tossed it aside, then shoved the pile of parts under his bed. He had plenty of better things to do with his summer holiday than waste time on a relic. Getting the batteries turned out to be the tough part. They didn't make the particular models anymore, so he'd had to improvise a new contact board to fit against the tops of the updated batteries. The rest he'd cobbled together from bits and pieces of various radios he'd gotten from the Army-Navy depot and then cannibalized. It had taken the better part of a month to get everything done. But damn if the thing didn't hum when he finally closed the casing and pulled up the antenna to its full height. It worked on the AM frequency, obviously. He thought he got maybe a mile or so of range, which got him at least off Stark property. If anyone happened to be toying around with a ham radio set or something, they'd hear him, which was a heady thought. Just the idea of it, that he could say something into this thing he'd fixed, and someone out there could talk back. Someone could hear him, someone new, who would know he existed. Someone who didn't know him. He could be anyone to them. A grand adventure. Hello, Tony tried, voice cracking a bit as he pushed down on the talk button, then winced at the sound of his voice. Anyone copy? Over. That sounded better, less amateur. The radio hissed and crackled with static, and for just that flicker of time, that one expectant moment, it held so much possibility. Of course. Like everything else in his actual life, reality was something of a crushing disappointment. Tony stared down at the radio in his hand. The whole thing suddenly felt incredibly stupid. Of course, no one was sitting out there listening to a random radio channel. People had lives and plenty of better things to do. People who weren't pathetic losers who spent their time fixing pieces of junk just because of a stupid little baby fantasy. I copy. A voice boomed back, startling him. Tony dropped the radio, like it was on fire, then blinked at it in a combination of stunned amazement and horror. You still there? Over. He reached out and picked it up, holding it a bit away from his ear as it buzzed. "I'm here. I'm Tony. Who?" He coughed, mouth suddenly dry. It had worked. It had worked. He had fixed it, and it had worked. His stomach was churning with exhilaration and a little bit of, not fear exactly, just a sense of being thrown off kilter, like that moment when you get as high as you can on a swing and leap off, when you have no choice now but to try to land. "What's your name? Where are you? What kind of radio are you using? What's the range? Does it use an amplifier? I thought about maybe adding one, boost the signal a bit, but, whoa, wow, okay, well." The voice chuckled, low and warm, and surprisingly clear, though he couldn't think of any of their neighbors who sounded remotely like that. Young, he thought. Not a kid like him, though, but not old, like his dad, kind of old. "I'm currently in, let's say, a barn. I'm using a Gatlin handy talkie. Neat thing the boys back home thought up. Can't believe they got a wireless I can carry around. My buddy says I'm probably going to poke someone's eye out with the antenna, but even he has to admit it's pretty swell. Don't know about a, what did you call it? Amplifier? The range is pretty limited, depending on the terrain we're in, but it's mostly, fields out here. Oh, and I'm Steve, by the way. Nice to hear a friendly voice, Tony." The end.